To serve thee, Lord, be a holy, consumed, burnt
very vanity. But it is of the Lord to serve thy God with thy heart, thy soul, and thy mind, and thy strength. Yes. And rejoices the heart of the Lord when his saints stand before him with an open heart and an open mind. Yea, the Lord desires his people this day and draws near to thee.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Danced before me, they worshiped and they adored me, and they leapt with joy before me. David of old danced before me and rejoiced in me, and they were under the old covenant. How much more you should rejoice in the Lord your Savior, for you are under the blood of the Lamb and not under the blood of bulls and goats. Hallelujah. Rejoice in the Lord your God, you people of the new.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. We rejoice.
Are those who will hear the secret things that I say, and the things that they hear me say will cause them great joy. Hallelujah. The things that my people who stand close to me will cause great gladness of heart. And all fear will be washed away from your hearts as you hear the things that I say. You will fear nothing. You'll fear not principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. You will fear nothing in this world. Hallelujah. You will sanctify me and make you my fear. And the things that you hear as you stand very near to me in your day-to-day activities will cause you great gladness of heart, and they will cause you to dance and rejoice in the house of God. They will cause you to have a song of love and a song of gratitude and praise singing in your heart. Every molecule of your bodies and of your soul and your spirit will sing songs of love to me in the days to come. If you will stand very close to me, stand very near to me, and listen very closely to the things that my spirit is saying to you today. For the hard things that I am saying I am not saying in my wrath, saith the Lord. They are not being said in anger, but they are being said in great love. For I will have a pure people. I will have a holy people to draw into me, into my marriage bed, saith the Lord. The things that I am dealing with now are for your glory. They are for your benefit, that we too might be made one.
Hallelujah, Lord. We rejoice in that. Hallelujah, Lord.
Shall we turn in our Bibles to Jeremiah, the first chapter? We'll read a few verses in King James. Together. Chapter 1, starting with verse 4 through 10. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 10. Jeremiah 1:4. Here we go. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. And as I prayed this morning over the word of God, and this came to my mind, I thought, Lord, this is an unusual subject for a congregation of people, especially on potluck Sunday. And the thought came to me, be it of the Lord, we'll see, that many of the people in this church will become spokesmen for the Lord. And we need to know these things. What is true of someone that God calls to minister? And Jeremiah is our example this morning of someone who was called to minister. So if this is a blessing to you, hopefully, from the Lord. Notice in verses 1, 2, and 3, which we did not read, the words of Jeremiah. And it's verse 2, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah. And it goes on, the third verse, also in the days of Jehoiakim. Now, this is the real word of the Lord. We get used to saying, the Lord told me this and told me that. But there's a burden of prophecy beyond such casual statements. I prefer that people say they want to do this, or they thought it'd be a good idea, rather than say the Lord told them. I don't think it's wise to say God told me this and God told me that. Since I don't think that's a good idea. It's better to say I feel like this might be the Lord's will. Then in case you're wrong, you won't have to eat crow. Praise the Lord. So, but you notice how the historical specificity here. The word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah. There's something majestic about that. I got the day of the word of the Lord. What's coming in the days of President Carter? That's what we need to know. What is God saying? The word of the Lord that came in the days of Jehoiakim. You see the majesty of that. Chronologically, historically dated. There's power in that. And we need to know what God is saying in 1980. What God is saying. Amen. All right, now, notice in verses 4 and 5, the foreknowledge of God. This is something that the church, we need to get it soaked down in our spirits, that the things of God are by predestination and foreknowledge. God does as he will. And we need to know that, saints. We got altogether too much democracy in us. Democracy was invented by man. We are Christians. We are members of the kingdom of God. And we go as the Bible says, no matter what anybody thinks. Amen? Amen. All right, notice what God says. The word of the Lord came to me before I formed you in the womb I knew you. That brings out, as I read that, it touched me about abortion. What a terrible thing that is. What a terrible thing that is. God says, before I formed you. Who forms a child in the womb? God. Would we then murder? Would we put our hand on that which God has done? We need to be careful that we do not become part of the American way of doing things today. It is not of God. It is people-oriented, but it is not God-oriented. And God says, before I formed you. Again, it says children are the gift of the Lord, blessing of the Lord. So we need to have a sacred view concerning marriage and marriage relations, they are not to be played games with by psychologists or would-be doctors or knowledgeable people who know nothing about God or His way. Marriage is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. So we don't have anything to do with current thinking concerning children and who will be born and who will not be born. God determines who will be born. Hallelujah. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Isn't that marvelous? Here's a little embryo or a little fetus. Not even a fetus, because that's formed, but a little embryo. And God says, before I even went to the forming of you within the uterus, in your mother's belly, I knew you before that. Praise the Lord. How great is God, saints? God is in control of this world. God knows what He's doing. Hallelujah. We need to give the glory to God and be in stand for God in these days and not let our spirit be touched with modern notions of what is right for man and what is wrong. I don't intend to get on that this morning. Maybe that's something to help someone. Praise the Lord. All right, now, he said, before you were born, I consecrated you. Do you know why you're in this room? Because you're God's elect. If you're not God's elect, you won't last long in the church of the living God. In the church that's marching on today in the plan of God, you won't last long unless God calls you. And you remember in John, in the 6th chapter, when Jesus began to talk about the body and blood, they left him by droves. And he said, I told you that no man can come unto me except the Father who has sent me draw him. And saints, I would say this in encouragement to all of us who will be ministering the Word of God in the days to come. Let's quit playing the numbers game. Let's quit it. Wouldn't do me any good anyway, because I'm not noted for large numbers, so I'm not tempted. But you might be tempted with the numbers game. A church is not measured by the number of people who come. That's an American way of viewing things. It doesn't matter beans about how many come. What matters is whether God's will is being done. And whether there's 10,000 people there or 10 is no indication whatsoever of God. And the Bible doesn't have to say much about numbering except David sinned thereby. So let's escape clean from this notion of measuring anything of God by the number of people. God tends to work in, like Jeremiah, with one man. That's God's way. And so that's Jesus' way too. He said, I told you couldn't come unless God drew you. So in these end times, saints, let's clean escape from this ungodly way of viewing the gospel. Because once we get our minds on it, we have to compromise the burden of the word of the Lord in order to please man. And that is the message of Jeremiah to us this morning, who would be messengers of God and God's elect. We are not called to cater to people's opinions. We are not called to please people, compromise policy, administratively skillful in manipulation. That is not our role. Our role is to be intent on what God has said and to say it faithfully, line by line, item by item, and be true to what God has said to the last detail. Hallelujah. And whether one person comes or no person comes or 100,000, it has nothing. We don't reject people. We don't try to get them. We don't try to lose them. That's not our job. Our job is to be true to God. And if you are God's elect, then this applies to you, and I believe you are. It means that you were God's elect before you were born. Hear me now. You're no accident on the human scene. Your name was called out before Genesis 1:1. You were called from the foundation of the world that you would be in the land in 1980, and God has something for you. And another thing, while we're on the subject, as the Lord will, no saint is called to be anything but a saint.
If you are called to be saint, that is your supreme calling in life. That's enough for any man or any woman to be a saint. Of the handful of saints among 5 billion people, God called no Christian to be a carpenter any more than he called Jesus to be a carpenter, or a bricklayer, or a plumber, or a sales engineer, or a schoolteacher. And let's get that out of our vocabulary. It's not Bible. God called you and me to be saints. Holy ones, godly ones, God's elect, called to show forth the glory of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. You may work at some job as a necessary for yourself and your dependents. That is your responsibility, not your calling. If you're a saint, you were called from the foundation of the world to stand for the living God. Don't let anything else distract your mind. Your job is to put the necessary beans on the table, a roof over your children's head, and that God expects of us. But that is not your calling. If you are a saint and your name was called before the foundation of the world, and you can even hear me this morning and it tugs at your heart, then that is God's calling upon you from before Genesis 1:1, and you're a rare bird in this world. And so keep yourself separate from our culture, because America, as I was reading the other night, our nation, wonderful nation, I don't doubt it for one second. I may sound like it. I'm not downing America when I preach. I'm saying what I believe God is saying. And I intend to say it as God gives me breath. And you can accuse me of being unpatriotic. I enlisted in the Marine Corps when I was 17. You do the same, then we'll talk. All right. The middle of World War II. I'm not downing the nation. It's the only hope for the nation is that the nation will repent. But as it was pointed out, some of the greatest leaders that we had were agnostics and deists. Thomas Jefferson was a deist. He wasn't a Christian. Benjamin Franklin was an agnostic. And our nation is our nation, and it has given us religious liberty. But in our nation is the Church of God. And that is worldwide. And when Pat goes over to South Korea, she will find people that will be closer to her than American. A wonderful to be an American. But it's great to be a member of the kingdom of God, and that's where our allegiances are. Hallelujah. Because we need to understand that our calling as saints makes us one with the saints in South Korea and Liberia and Chile and every place else. That's where we are one. Hallelujah. That's a full-time calling. Full-time. Whether you're on the job or where you are, the full-time calling is God has called you out from this world to know his mind. And he called you before you were born. He knew your name before the foundation of the world. Wonderful, isn't it? I wish that all 5 billion people in the world were that way, but it isn't so. The Bible doesn't teach that it is so. Jesus said, I pray not for the world, but for those whom you gave me out of the world. And that's you. You wouldn't be here. Don't let any man take your crown. All right. I have appointed you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nation. Isn't that wonderful? Huh? Those God said, people say, I think the Lord is calling me to be a prophet. Honestly, it's really enough to tickle you half to death. Yeah, do you know what you're asking for? What you would say if you did was, I don't think the Lord is calling me to be a prophet. See, we associate that with being a big somebody in the church to get up and make loud pronouncements. There's more to it than that, as Jeremiah found out. As we go along here, as the Lord will, maybe you go back and say, Lord, was that really you? Huh? All right. There's certain responsibilities that go with being a prophet, isn't that so? Then said I, and a prophet to the nations, at that. Look at that. A prophet to the nations, one guy. And here he is, just a little fella. And the Lord says, I'm going to make you a prophet to the nations. Not even to Israel, but to the nations. Now, he did prophesy to Israel, but he also prophesied to several nations. Jeremiah was God's man. And he said, here's Jeremiah's response. Alas, that is the best response going. You know, God blesses reluctant people. How many people knew that? Did you know that God uses reluctant people? If you're hot to go with God, it's very hard to hear His voice. It really is, because you're so excited when God speaks, you're halfway down the road, and you can't tell what God wants. My wife says, you're tailgating, and God takes a hard left turn. Well, you're 15 miles down the freeway before you knew anything happened, because you're ready to go. If there's a certain amount of reluctance there, it really helps. Like Moses said, send by somebody else. If God came to you and said, I'm going to invest you with power such as mortal man has never known, your proper attitude, oh, have somebody else go. Gideon wasn't all that hot to trot, was he? I tell you what, if it's you, do this. Well, that's not it. If it's you, do that, you know. Do this, do that. And God is very willing, as long as we're not being slothful, or as long as we don't have any other God, as long as our reluctance is based on just a normal and natural startled condition at such a commission, then God respects and honors that. If you're saying, wow, be me, I always knew it, you know. I mean, it's kind of hard to talk to somebody like that. You know, because they don't let you get anything out of your mouth. Or if you say, no, I won't go, well, that's bad news. I married a wife, or I've got a yoke of oxen and all this. God finds it, well, go yoke your oxen. Right? I'll get somebody else. But there's a good, happy medium in there where you're willing to go, but not over willing to go. And I say, God uses reluctant people. And so Jeremiah very beautifully says, alas. Now that isn't the best news I heard today. And he just said, woe is me, if he knew what was going to happen to him all his life. All right. He says, I don't know how to speak. What's your excuse? Huh? I don't know how to speak. I'm too rich. I'm too poor. I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm too heavy, I'm too light, I'm not a man, I'm a woman. Huh? So I'm something else. Or I've got 3 more years until my retirement, or whatever the problem is, you've got it. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, because everywhere I send you, you shall go. See how wonderfully, this is what I like to say. In our day, we have great emphasis on faith, and that's good. It's good to have a positive attitude. Thomas went a long way, even though he was a pessimist and a doubter. He ended up as a martyr in India, founded the church there. So you can make it if you're a pessimist and a doubter. You know, Thomas did. Judas fell because he loved money and he was a thief. But Thomas made it, even though he was a very pessimistic fellow. But do you see how God's command precedes faith? This is an important distinction. It is the difference between faith and presumption. If you set your faith first and say, you know what I think I'd like to be a prophet for the nation, I'm going to believe God, that is to get the cart before the horse. That's presumption. Maybe God doesn't want you to be a prophet for the nation. Yeah? Maybe he wants you to work at some job and be nothing anybody ever heard of, and you want to be a prophet to the nation, and you exercise faith along that line, that's not faith, it's presumption. But if God says to you, I want you to be a prophet to the nation, and you say, all right, in obedience and go with God, then that is faith. And the way you separate faith from presumption is, in true faith, God speaks first and then you obey. In presumption, you speak first and try to get God to obey. That's simple, isn't it? Isn't that simple? Anybody have big ambitions? Huh? You want to be a prophet? It's all right. If any man desires the office of a bishop, he desires a good work, it says. Okay. Now he says, do not say I am a youth. And so if there's someone in here and you're young, and God begins to deal with you about things, don't go around all the time worrying about how young you are. On the other hand, don't get bold and sassy. If you're a child, be polite to those that have the rule over you. God will not bless you if you are impolite to have the rule, those that have the rule over you. Even if it's a secular cigar-chewing boss, listen to him. You can learn from anybody. Don't get sassy. You can learn from your elders, saved or unsaved. Praise the Lord. You can drink water out of many cisterns if you will just watch God and don't get presumptuous. But don't go back on the Lord because you are a child. The Bible says even a child is known by the way he behaves. So let me tell you something, kids, all of us. There is never an age at which you arrive. If you do not believe, ask your mother or your father, because they're waiting until they're older. Isn't that, or after you get a certain age, they say, well, I should have done it when I was younger. It never comes that golden age. You have to respond when God speaks to you. And if you're 7 years old, stand for God. There is no excuse before God because of your age. And we've got that tradition in the churches. Somehow, the young kids do this and do that, and then at some certain magic age, it's going to happen. No, it isn't going to happen. It isn't going to happen until you assent to it. And the more time you allow to go by and getting serious with God, the more difficult it becomes because you are forming habits. And why sow oats that you're going to be reaping from now till you're 75? Why not save yourself a whole bag of grief and serve God when you're young, in your teens? Serve God, because the years will not cause it to pass. Anybody in this room will tell you that. There's always an excuse. Next year, the pastures are greener. The pastures are always greener in the next fellow's yard. Just remember that. It's just always will be you, your problems, your doubts, your fears, your handicaps. That will always be that way. And you just have to cold turkey say, I don't feel anything right, but I am going to love the Lord. I am going to set my love on Him and do His will. And whether you feel anything or not, do it, and you'll be a strong Christian. A lot stronger than people that have been in a vision for 2 days and then spoke in tongues for the next month and then came out and then spend the rest of their Christian life telling about what they did back yonder. You'll be a stronger Christian if you just cold turkey in your mind say, I am going to love the Lord and do His will every day. There's where the saints are born. That's what Christianity, character, will, choice, choose you this day whom you will serve. And age is no criterion. Whether you're 4 or 6 or 10 or 14, the time is now. Say not, I am a child. Don't say that to the Lord. He doesn't respect that. He respects you to answer within your frame of abilities and things. God will never burden you with more than He will have you do. He said, because everywhere I send you, you shall go. See, you don't make up your own mind, say, I'm going to go here and there. Where I send you, you shall go. And all that I command you, you shall speak. And let me say, in exhortation, edifying also, it is not easy to do this. It is not easy to declare the whole counsel of God. It is not easy. It is easy when people are saying amen and are all excited and you're saying what they want to hear or expect to hear or for whatever reason. It is easy to preach in that atmosphere. But it isn't always the best preaching atmosphere because many times you're tempted to go skittering off on some track because of the positive reinforcement that's coming back. It takes a lot of discipline to get before God, to find out what God wants said, and to say it no matter whether who believes what. It takes discipline to declare the whole counsel of God, because we look at people, and here's the thing. You know, you're back in your study or in your bedroom or you're in your closet or something, and you're going to preach maybe. And I think some of you in here are really going to be preachers. I believe that's on my mind this morning. And you know what the Lord wants said, and you go to the service, and this is just the time that the church, they've been after maybe the mayor of the village to attend, after and after for 2 years, and here God's given you a message that is the last thing in the world. It's a deep message. It's a holiness message. And you think, boy, here comes the wet blanket, me. So then you've got a decision. Shall I say what God told me to say, or shall I go along, play the game? You know, like the prophet said, the king of Israel said to the prophet Micah, I think it was, or Micaiah, said, look, all the prophets have spoken good. Say, buddy, don't blow it. And so Micaiah, if that was the one, says, oh yes, go, oh yes, yes, you're going to win, yes, everybody's right, yeah, we're all here in our place with sunshiny faces. And the king of Jerusalem, the king of Judah was there, and he said, this does not sound like any prophet of the Lord. And he said to Micaiah, tell us what God has said. Tell us what God has said. This fellow stood up and he said, I saw Israel scattered as sheep without a shepherd. Everybody go home, you're already whipped. Don't go out to war, you're going to lose. Now, okay, so here you come out of your prayer closet. You go to church. Everything's against what God gave you to say. Everything's against it. Let me tell you something. You stay faithful to God and preach what God says. You know what will happen? Afterward, that mayor will come up and say, you know, that's what I needed to hear. And I thought this church was a bunch of phonies just like the rest. But this is God, because I know that's what God is saying. That will happen. That will happen if we're faithful to God. But we got to make sure that we're in prayer and that we're hearing from the Lord. And when we have the word of the Lord, okay, all that I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them. So man fears. Man fear. The fear of people's opinions. Who will think what? Is a tremendous bondage for a prophet. It's a temptation. It really is. Not that you're afraid that they're going to strike you or anything like that, but what we call peer pressure. Peer pressure. May God deliver us from peer pressure. Huh? Amen? Praise the Lord. You want to lose out with God, it's peer pressure. Because then not only do the people confound you, but God confounds you as well. He adds to it. Says, that's no use. There's nothing going on around here. I don't have a spokesman. These are people who are people-oriented. A man of the people or a man of God. Which is the prophet? Which was Elijah? Which was Jesus? Which was Paul? A man of the people or a man of God? And that's the decision that prophet has to make. You know what the question was asked, that Moses asked? Who is on the Lord's side? As distinguished from whom? Who is on the congregation's side? That's the question. Who is on the Lord's side? He was talking about the Lord versus Israel. And you know, when Moses went to Aaron, he said, why did you do this? Here I'm gone, getting the word of God for Israel, and I come back. The people are naked. The people are worshiping a calf made out of gold. What happened? You know what Aaron said? I feared the people. He was a man of the people. Aaron the priest was a man of the people. Very often a priest is a man of the people. He stands with the people.
Oh God, have mercy on us.
A prophet says, oh people, have mercy on God. In other words, his attitude, where he's coming from, is different. Now Jeremiah loved Jerusalem. We see from the book of Lamentations. He was not someone who just willingly, like Elijah, was carried up to heaven in a whirlwind. He remained to weep. But he stood alone against his nation. Praise the Lord. All right. I have appointed you. All right. Do not be afraid of them. I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord stretched out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have appointed you this day over the nations and over the kingdoms to pluck up, to break down, to destroy, and to overthrow, and then to build and to plant. This is God's way. Before God, many times, when you go to pray to God and say, oh Lord, oh God, I want to be a real Christian. I want to be a real saint. Instead of apparently blessing you, the Lord turns your program upside down. And you say, the harder I pray to be like the Lord and do His will, the worse things happen. That is the answer to your prayer. God is tearing down that which is leading you to harm and away from Him, and is going to build and plant where the wrong house was. Yeah, I went to a very expensive organ teacher one time, Eastman School. Well, here I've been playing the piano since I was 4 or 5 years old, and I was in my late 20s, I guess, and I'd gone through college on a music scholarship and one thing or another. And you'd think I had never learned a thing in my life. Never knew a thing in my life. Because the man was a perfectionist, and he had his way of playing the pipe organ. Well, he charged like that were the case also. He is a renowned organist. And David Craighead, his name was. I think he was from Scotland or somewhere. And you wouldn't think, it was like he was starting to explain where middle C was on the keyboard. Well, because the man didn't want to fool with anything I knew, if I come to him for lessons, he was going to teach me. Well, when you come to the Lord, you don't say, Lord, ornament all that I've... Now, I've built all this, Lord, and I've tried so hard and everything. Surely, there's something good here. Fix up this crack and fix up that over here. This wall's, 20 degrees out of plumb, and the floor is crooked and everything else. But, oh, God, bless my house. And God says, if you want me to do the thing, I will raise it to the ground because it was done wrong in the first place. You can't patch up the crack if the foundation is settling. So God will not listen to us. He looks past us to what we're really saying, which is, God, we want you. And so He puts up with all of our crying around, takes our candy away from us, and we whimper, but He's answering our prayer. And you know, this is a heavy load for a boy to be tearing down. He had to prophesy against Egypt, the Babylonians, the Philistines, Moab, the Ammonites, and especially against the Israelites. He prophesied against all of these. So God wasn't asking him to go out with a hammer or a sword or a sledge or a crowbar or anything and start hammering down these nations. All that he expected Jeremiah to do was to say what God was going to do and was doing. And God has not called you and me to do more as a prophet, at least in that thing, than to say faithfully what God is doing. Not to say, I know how it'll work. And off we go. Do you remember what he said? What did God say to Ezekiel about the bones? What did he say to do about the bones? Prophesy to him. He didn't say to go out there and get out your taxonomy and classify. I think this is a tibia. This is a femur. I'll put the tibia on the femur. Where's the jawbone? We can't find any. We'll put a foot bone in there. He's got his foot in his mouth anyway. And the first thing you know, we've got the weirdest looking thing come out. I call it the ecumenical movement. God said, prophesy to the bone. God told Jeremiah to tear them down, and what Jeremiah did, chapter 46 against Egypt, 47 against the Philistines, 48 against Moab, chapter 49 against the Ammonites, chapter 50 against Babylon, and the rest of the book is against Israel. And Jeremiah just prophesied, and God says, I'll tear him down. See, all you've got to do is just what God said, the power and the wisdom and the glorious God's. But we do have to be faithful what God said. The word of the Lord came to me saying, what do you see? A rod of an almond tree. An almond is the first fruit, first crop, the bud. I think it's in late January in the Holy Land. Whenever you see the almond, God says that's coming in a hurry. I want you to know, we do listen to the word for 3 or 4 or 5 years, and the first year, the first 6 months, we think, oh, boy, this is going to happen tomorrow. And then it doesn't happen for 4 years. Let me tell you something. It will come to pass. God said the vision will not tarry in his word. If it tarries, wait for it. But in other places, he said there will be no more delay. And I feel such a sense in the Spirit. I'm not setting any calendar date, but I believe momentous things are upon us, and we need to redeem the time. We need to look to our business. That we can't say 20 years from now I'm going to retire and do this and that. But that's not the type of a day. God says, see the almond tree. You have seen well. I am watching over my word to perform it. Verse 13, the word of the Lord came to me a second time. What do you see? A boiling pot facing away from the north. God says, there's trouble coming from the north upon Israel. Evil. In the verse 15, I'm calling all the families of the kingdoms of the earth, and they will come and set up his throne at the entrance at the gates of Jerusalem. Not a happy word to his people, but they were sinning. They were sinning, and the rest of the prophets were saying, peace and safety. It's going to be well. You're going to have peace. You're going to have this and all that. People say, speak smooth things, but the prophet has to say what God said. No matter who, no matter what, no matter if we die for it, it makes little difference. We say what God said. And I will pronounce my judgments on them concerning all their wickedness, speaking of Israel and the nations, whereby they have forsaken me and have offered sacrifices to other gods and worshipped the works of their own hands. Now, gird up your loins. There'll be times when you will be ministering, those that have never ministered and are out, and start a little work for God or something, wherever God sends you, whether it's to Africa, wherever God's going to be sending this congregation, I believe he is. And there'll be times, I'll tell you, when you have to use Brother Dowell's expression, you have to anoint yourself. You just have to anoint yourself. I mean, you can't hear from God, and there's no sign that God is even with you. He told you to go there, and then you got there, and then God left. He went on vacation. And there's this problem, and the kids are sick, and the bills aren't paid, and the natives are hostile, and everything. It's mighty easy to say, Lord, was that really you when Chuck Flynn prophesied over me, or when this or that? You know what you have to do? Gird up your loins. Just stand up straight and say, I know. And that brings us to something else. Don't go before you know. Don't go before you have proven beyond a reasonable doubt that that is God's will. Don't go in a hurry. Don't go for false motives. Don't go out of duty. Don't go because of any other reason but because you're convinced and you're afraid and you're waiting that this is God. And then when everything busts loose, you won't say, I'm not sure it was God. Because it will come. You will be tested. I remember one time sitting, I've been down here about 3 months,
and I was sitting right there in that corner by myself one day just praying, sitting right there, and a voice came to me, "What are you doing here? Under what authority are you here?" And Audrey and I had prayed for months. But you know, it is no small business to set up and say you're going to minister, officiate in the house of God. It's nothing to play games with. You don't know what judgment's going to come on you and your family. And so I was not an independent minister, but we were part of the Four Square, and also I had had a good report of the elders in Fremont. Audrey and I had prayed much about it. I felt peace about it. And we also had the endorsement of the Four Square, which God respects. God respects thing. You could go all the way back to Sister McPherson and her anointing. You say, well, that gets a little woolly. No, that's the way the kingdom works. You've got to have. There's a lot going on today that isn't the work of God. It can't trace itself back to anything except somebody's notion. And it will not stand in the day. You've got to say, this is God. There's somewhere, there's some people that you can see God is with when you can't see anything for yourself. It's important. The things of God are no small business. And so everything breaks loose against you. You're liable to lose your life. And everything's wrong. You've got to know that God sent you. And if He did, and you know it, and all everything about you, you just say, I've done the best I can. I committed my way to you. I did not run down here presumptuously. I'm not trying to be anything except a servant. Then you gird up your loins and stand, and God will stand with you, and you will prevail. Jeremiah knew that it was God. All right. And in finishing up here, speak to all them which I command you. Arise, do not be dismayed before them, lest I dismay you before them. God gets in the act if we displease God by not being on His side against whoever we're ministering to. We have to be on the Lord's side. Now behold, I have made you as a fortified city. And here he's just a child. I have made you a fortified city, and as a pillar of iron, and as walls of bronze, against the whole land. Here's a child now. To the kings of Judah, to its princes, to its priests, and to the people of the land. And they will fight against you. Why do God's people fight the Word? Why do they fight the Lord? Why do they fight His prophets? Why do they hire people that will tell them what they want to hear? Who are they against? God. God. You remember when Samuel was weeping and the Lord said, dry your tears. They have not rejected you. They have rejected me. And God's people will not go against God because that is so obviously a foolish thing to do. So they will attack His ministers. And they will say, speak to us what we want to hear, and if not, we'll take care of you. But when they say that, they are saying that to God. You tell us what we want to hear, and if not, well, you know what. And so the prophet has to make up his mind. Who is on the Lord's side? And if you make up your mind that that's you, God said they will fight against you, Israel, but they will not overcome you, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Lord Jesus, we thank you today, Lord. We know that the days are days when judgment is going to be falling on the nations, on our nation, and on the church. We know by the Spirit that many that say they are the Lord's people are in fact of the synagogue of Satan. And you said that they would come and worship at the feet of God's saints and confess that God is the Lord and that Christ is the true and faithful one. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus, We want to be true to our calling as God's elect. We do not want to take the side of Israel, Lord, against you. We are on your side, and we choose to be on your side, Lord. We take your point of view, whether it be popular, whether it be unpopular, whether it bring us fame or whether it bring us martyrdom, is absolutely immaterial. As your elect, Lord, we choose and we say publicly that we are on the Lord's side. And we will go your way, Lord, in these days as you give us the wisdom and the courage and the strength. And as you send us forth, many of us in this room, to the Kika Siliara Bahayara Bahandaya, Kisiliara Bahayara Bahashilia. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Tank Abarakahasi Kisiliara Bahaya. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Let the yes, Karabakahashiliara Bahaya. Hiliara Bahayara Bahandara Bahasilia. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, granted, Lord, we know there are so many nations today that are sitting in darkness. We know there, even in our own United States, there are so many places, Lord, that are sitting in darkness. We know from what people have said. The word of the Lord seems to be precious in the day in which we live. We know, Lord, that you have trained us and trained us and trained us in this place for 4 years. And we pray, Lord, that it will not have fallen on deaf ears, Lord, but it will have fallen on circumcised ears. And that the word that has come down will come down into our spirits and into our souls. And Lord, as you have spoken to us so many times about the days of preparation, and that the days of preparation are nearly over or are over, Lord, we just trust, Lord, that we are following you, that we are doing what you are saying. And so, Lord, we pray this morning that Jeremiah and the words that you said to him will ring in our souls this morning, Lord, and they will be in our bones, and they will be strength, and they will be fire, and they will deliver us, Lord, from all that we face in the days to come. And that we will stand as the spokesmen, the spokeswomen of God. We will stand, Lord, as your saints and your elect, whithersoever you shall send us. And we shall go in the name of the Lord our God, in the name of Jesus Christ. And we shall say, Lord, what you are saying, and do what you are doing in the sight of all. Hallelujah. Let that power be on us now, Lord. And let that absolutely iron and bronze consecration fall down into our bones. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then touch our mouth with fire, Lord, that thy word and thy will be proclaimed clearly. Hallelujah. Let's just tell the Lord, saints, that we choose him. Hallelujah. We are on your side, Lord. Moses said, who is on the Lord's side? Who? Hallelujah. And the priest responded. Levi responded. Hallelujah. Tell the Lord in your heart, you're on his side. Lord, take out from us that which would cater to man, that which would be pleasing. Deliver us, Lord, from pleasing the face of the flesh. Hallelujah. Make us pleasers of God. We love you, Lord. We're on your side today to bring to men and women, boys and girls, the word of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let it be upon us, and I pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Let's stand. In the name and in the presence of Christ. Hallelujah. 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 Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Let the blessing of the Lord our God be upon us. Let the blessing of the Most High God be upon us. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, as we turn away, Lord, from all that would in any way dampen or in any way curtail the word of the living God or the demands of discipleship or the actions of the Holy Ghost, we do now, Lord, as a people, dedicate ourselves to the word of God, to the word of Jesus in the day in which we are living, to the flowing of the Holy Spirit who is God among us. We do announce, Lord, in thy presence that we set ourselves aside, Lord, the young among us, the older among us, and all among us, Lord, that we may stand as prophets in the land, wherever you may send us, Lord, that we will be true to God if we have to stand alone.
We will do faithfully, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you for peace this morning. Thank you for the peace of God. I know you take us at our word. I know the congregation, Lord, has that intent, Lord, to serve you. Take us at our word, Lord. Tear down that which is still remains of the morals and values of our century. Take it down, Lord, because it's not from God. Give us the old path, the good way, the way of the saints of old, that we may one day walk in the train of Jeremiah and Isaiah, of Elijah and of Elisha, of Peter and Paul, and Thomas, whom men call doubting, and yet, Lord, in his doubts, he stood for God. Hallelujah. And our blessed Lord Jesus, with his nail-pierced hands, grant, Lord, that we will not be ashamed in that day. Or with Antipas, your faithful martyr, who stood alone, grant that we will find ourselves one day, Lord, not ashamed, but in that company of those who were true prophets of God in their generation. Hallelujah. Now let the blessing, hallelujah, and the benediction of God Almighty be upon all such who set themselves apart in the name of Jesus to bear witness of the Son and to speak faithfully His words and to keep them in this hour. The blessing of the Father, the blessing of the Son, and the blessing of the Holy Spirit be upon each and every one today who so sets his heart to obey the Lord wholly. In Jesus' name, thank you. And everyone said, amen. God bless. Service is 6 o'clock. Pat speaking.